All right. Well, it is it's nice to step in as a substitute because I have this one class and then I'm, well, moving on. So it's nice. Last week we had our big teddy bear of a brother Sam up here. He was subbing. And it is a little odd to be subbing for somebody that's sitting here, but that's all right. Nathan, I hope I do a fine job with a wrap-up on this. So Nathan did provide an extensive amount of notes for this class. I added to them. No, okay, let's see. Nathan and I, we had a phone. I took down some key notes. But one of the things, the title of this class, and this is the actual overall class, is Family, A Shadow of Things to Come. And so Nathan, I've been sitting in this class, so hopefully I've got this right, and I'm a pretty good student. He's been talking about what we learn in our families, what we learn in the interactions and the way, you know how us humans are, we're sort of funny. We're programmed funny, all programmed slightly different, a lot of similarities. We react differently to things. It's how we have relationships with one another. And the family talks about, it's not far from our relationship with God in Christ. And so today's title comes from, today's lesson is a quote from Burton. That's Nathan's dad. Forgiveness and oneness are the same things. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're not going to focus, because forgiveness alone, we're going to need a semester or something to talk like that. And then you need a lifetime just to figure out how to perfect it. I'm still working on it, but what today is focusing on the key point that these two things, that there is a scriptural backing for this quote right here, and that's what we're going to take a look at. All right. Before we do that, though, that there is it's in the viper family. It's a type of adder. By the way, yes, very poisonous. How many people in here just really enjoy snakes, and how many have a pet snake at home? That right there, there's one. Nathan's got snakes, but I don't know. Sometimes I think he's raising them just to maybe eat them later. But Nathan does have snakes on occasion, but that's just a side thing. He's got a lot of pets. Dan? On occasion. I have a cousin, my cousin Chris. That kid was amazing. He'd come out of the woods and he'd have frogs and snakes, and sometimes this frog would be in the snake while he was pulling them out of his pocket. That boy was amazing. But anyway, his whole point is usually when you see something like that in the grass, how many of y'all go, look, oh, look, how cute, how precious? Do you do that?
I work in the garden a lot, so I see a lot of visitors.
Okay. But do you look at a snake and go, oh, look, it's cute and precious, and start petting, trying to reach to pet its head? Yeah, exactly. A brother up here in the front said, I go, ch-ch-ch. All right, let's see. Do you ever feel this way about somebody else? You see them coming, you're like, oh, that no good snake. I mean, you're just taken back from them. Or the flip side of that question is do you perceive that maybe someone has that same thought about you? And I'm talking about in the family of this church family that we have. Or inside, you know, just any relationship you've ever had. But right now we're trying to focus here in the church family and in our personal families. I hope you don't feel this way, but before we get going, we're going to read from Isaiah. It sort of gives you an idea of a point where God, and there's a lot of examples in the Old Testament, where God just really was not too happy. So this is going to go 1-8. Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save. Nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. So God starts off with this little, he's just making a little preface here when he makes his comment through Isaiah. He's saying, if you would you just turn back to me? But this is really how I'm feeling about you right now. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken falsehood. Your tongue mutters wickedness. No one sues righteously, and no one pleads honestly. They trust in confusion, and they speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch adder's eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed a snake breaks forth. Their webs will not become clothing, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and an act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Devastation and destruction are in their highways. They do not know the way of peace, and there is no justice in their tracks. They have made their paths crooked. Whoever treads on them does not know peace. You can keep reading that chapter. You'll find that he really doesn't ever get any happier about them. But the whole point is I'm trying to set a picture here. When you see a snake in the grass, most people tend to go, whoa, and they step back. That's what God's doing here. He's going, your wickedness, this is ridiculous. Here I am, but you choose to go from me. Well, that's the way God feels, and if sometimes we get feeling like that about other people. So we're going to talk about that. Could you back us up there, Terry? I hit that button, double click. There you go. So I'm going to give you a little story because I have to be just like Nathan a little bit and give stories in life. It was a green stripe number 14 pool ball that my brother and I found in a creek in our backyard in Tennessee. I was maybe 10 years old. That would have made my brother about 7. Brothers have a way of coming up with great ideas. And what we think is great, well, is not so great in the end. And that's not different than the way things are between man and God. Man thinks they have many great ideas, only to find out that God's already told you it wasn't a great idea. But let me tell you this little story about my brother and I. That number 14 green stripe pool ball to this day screams out at me whenever I see my brother's back of his head, because I gave him his first bald spot, perfectly dead centered right there where the part starts to swirl. It's about the size of a quarter these days. And we still laugh and joke about it, not that day, but we laugh and joke about it now. So we found this pool ball. We got this great idea. Let's build a couple of forts. Now, it wasn't a fort quite this fancy, though that's pretty cool. I thought, hey, that looks pretty cool. I wish I had that. Actually, if we'd had that, he might not get hit in the head. So we got this great idea. Let's build a fort. It was more like this type of fort, though. You know, you just collect whatever you can. You throw it together and go, hey, that looks sort of cool. And we had two forts, and they were maybe 30 feet apart. And then we said, now we're going to play the game called cannonball. And we're going to throw this pool ball back and forth and hit our forts, not each other. The plan was that you would hide down, throw this ball, and hit the piece of wood that was in the front and shatter it. And it was an old piece of plywood in front of each other, so we were hitting the plywood. We thought that would be cool. Crazy things you do on a summer afternoon. Well, see, up behind that fort was a big old ash tree. And I threw that ball, and instead of hitting that thing, that ball went straight up in the air behind my brother's fort. And it hit that tree and ricocheted from that tree, came down, and my brother came up like a jack in the box, hands on his head, screaming like bloody murder. Now, being a concerned older brother that I was, I ran to his side and put my hand over his mouth. Shh. It was about that time that I realized that between his hands, his fingers, he's clasping, there was blood gushing between his fingers. Okay, then I got a little more concerned. Now, my grandmother, who lived with us, was a retired nurse, came out, very calm, cool manner, walks over, tells me to take my shirt off. It was one of my favorite shirts, by the way. But anyway, I mean, it was. It was a really cool shirt, multicolored. But anyways, so I took off my shirt. She applies it to his head. She tells me, press on the back of his head as hard as you can and bring him over to my car. So we go get in her car. We drive to the hospital, which is maybe about 5 miles away, where she used to work. So it was real easy. We walk in. So here's the point of the story, though. It wasn't so much about the forgiveness of my brother towards me. I was saying sorry all the way there. Because I didn't fear my brother so much. It was Dad. Now, Mom was at work. Dad was at work. Now, my mom worked a lot closer, so she got the hospital lickety-split. Now, I'm sitting there in this little waiting nook, and then across the hall here is this other door, and that goes into the door where they were working on my brother. And I'm sitting there by myself. There's nobody else around. My mom's in there. My grandma's in there. My brother. I can hear my brother every once in a while go, they're going to do what? And the doctors and nurses would come out every once in a while. And I'm just over looking at that door going, oh, man. Well, then out of the corner of my eye came my dad's work boots. My dad worked for the state of Tennessee on a drill rig. He'd go out in these middle of nowhere. So he was... I don't know where he was, but he showed up pretty quick. I was actually pretty amazed at that. Well, when I saw those boots, I ain't going to lie. Everything in me seized up. My backside tightened up. I quit breathing for a moment because my dad, he was built like me except for one thing. He was known as Popeye among my cousins. My dad had hands and fingers literally were like sausages. He had worked with his hands a whole lot, and he had forearms that were like my thighs. And so he looks more like Popeye, but he had a grip. I mean, and when he grabbed you, right there. And when he grabbed you, you weren't going anywhere unless you lost your arm. That was as simple as that. My dad stopped, and I thought for sure I was going to get the old grab of the arm. I thought I was going to get welded on right there in the middle of this hospital. My dad just stopped. He looked down at me, and I sort of looked up at him, and he just looked at me. Didn't say anything, just kept looking at me with that stare of his. I was like, do something. He said, well, I can see that maybe you've suffered enough. And then he walked on and stepped into the room and shut the door where my brother was. And I sat there going, okay, what does that exactly mean? So I sit there and I said, he came out later and he sat down next to me after he checked on my brother. He sat down and he said, I want you to go in there and apologize to your brother. Then I made some comment along the lines of, well, I already have. And all of a sudden he tensed up and sort of looked at me, took a deep breath, and I said, yes, sir. And I got up and walked into that room. Because what he was trying to say was, I think he was trying to make the point. I'm trying to forgive you for what you did because I was the oldest, by the way. And when you're who else is the oldest in here of their family, their siblings? Nathan, you don't understand, son. No, my dad. Nathan tells all these stories about his family, and I'm like, you weren't the oldest. Ooh, boy, my dad expected things of me. I'm like, it was just crazy. But anyway, so I was the oldest. It seems like it's always on the oldest that it is expected an incredible lot more. And my dad was upset, but he remained calm. But he was trying to forgive me. When he sat down next to me and he was trying to be calm and he's saying, son, I think you've suffered enough. Now go in there and apologize. I should have said yes, sir, but I had to stop and go, I already have. Well, that didn't work. So I think he was trying to set that up. So that takes us to this next slide. When we go through and you have a situation where there has been an offense, a transgression, or a sin committed, and I'm sort of doing, this is not scientific, or, you know, I know some of these psychologist stuff, I'm not very good at that. Behavioral sciences, not very good at that stuff. What I'm doing, this is from Todd's point of view and how we usually handle it sort of at our house. So you get this offense or transgression or sin, typically there becomes what I call the reckoning. Now the reckoning between my brother and I, not in the case of the pool ball, but sometimes it just went to pushing, shoving, soon tumbling, maybe an occasional fist, but Mom and Dad always have said, don't hit one another. My brother and I figured, well, it's okay then for us to maybe, like, just wrap it up and push one another and roll around on the floor. If we don't hit one another, it's okay. So we have a reckoning moment. Typically, that's what happens at work, too, with some people. And I have to sit in and I get to talk with them. I'm in a situation where I get to sit down and have a conversation with them. I'm not in HR, but I usually back up our HR people. And we always say, you got to handle things civilly. Now, if things work out well with the reckoning, you get to something that might be an apology. Most of the time, though, it was more like a little diversion where you went back to a failure to recognize any wrong, which then would lead us back to a reckoning. And sometimes that loop can just keep going for a long time. So, if you do make it through something that seems like an apology, there comes this question of forgiveness. What point do we forgive? Well, that's the whole lesson I said that you can go on and on and on with. But there is something about forgiveness, is there not? Does not our Heavenly Father, has He not forgiven us an incredible amount of our transgressions? Have we not offended Him with our lives, our sinful nature? Do we not transgress against Him? Do we not sin? Yes, we do. And we're going to see a scripture here in a little while that states that if we say we do not, then we are liars. And we have made Him out to be a liar. But there comes forgiveness, and forgiveness is powerful. And let me tell you where God's forgiveness for us comes from. It comes from Jesus, His love for us in Christ. He loved us so much that He sacrificed His Son for us. If you are not sure if you are loved by God, then you need to come up here and have a conversation with somebody, myself, an elder, a brother or sister that you can trust in, because let me tell you what, I will remind you right now, He sacrificed His Son for you. He had His Son suffer. That's how much He loves you. And He doesn't just love you, He loves the world. So we get through forgiveness, you go, what do you do? Well, sometimes if you do it wrong, you go back to reckoning. Funny thing about humans, we tend to go back to some kind of a reckoning. Now, I call a reckoning anything that has to do with arguing, sometimes fighting, sometimes other things. But God has a plan. What does God want us to do in Christ? And that's sort of the direction we're going to head now. We're going to look at some scriptures. The glory which you have given me, this is Jesus. I know many of y'all may recognize that. I just want to clarify. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you have loved me. Now, when I read this, the first thing that came to my head was a big knot. You ever tied a... You ever been taught when you were tying your shoes, you know, the rabbit runs around the tree and then in the hole? Anybody remember those kind of ways of remembering things? I've tied a lot of knots, some that, we finally just had to cut the shoelaces, but I've tied a lot of knots. But it sounds to me like Jesus, when He's talking through this, it's like He's taking you through and He's trying to set this point where He's sitting there going, do you understand how intimate God wants to be with you? He wants to be your heavenly Father. And I am your brother. And you will be adopted. An adopted child of Almighty God. The Creator. The Judge. Your Redeemer. So as Jesus is saying this, it's like He's taking a rope and He's taking several ropes and He's tying them. And He's just, that's what it sounds like to me. So here He is tying up this rope. But we're going to come back and discuss perfected in unity. Now, interesting thing that we had this morning with the sermon that Ken gave us, because he talked about unity. Well, that's exactly what this lesson's all about. When you talked about being forgiven and in oneness, it's about unity. God wants unity. 1 John. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, And in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. There is a unity, a unifying here in Christ, where we become part of the light. In Revelation it says that there will be no sun and no moon and no heavenly bodies because God is going to be the light. That's a beautiful thought. That is what we're becoming part of. So we have this church family. We have a heavenly Father. And this heavenly Father, He's forgiven us. And in forgiving us, we have a common bond. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And be thankful. Sometimes it's tough to be thankful. The day that my dad walked through that emergency room, and I was sitting there in that waiting area, and he did not commence to take those Popeye arms of his and those sausage fingers and waylay my backside, which he had many times before, I was thankful. Now, I didn't know if that meant I was about to get the 5-hour lecture when I got home. Sometimes I didn't know which was worse. But the way my dad handled that matter changed the way I thought. And from there forward, I think it actually stuck in my head more than a spanking might have. I think I had matured to a new point, and maybe my dad recognized it, I don't know. But from there, I didn't totally recognize it, because I mean, I got spanked a few more times after that, but it made me think about things. That I was the oldest son, and that because I was the oldest child in the family, that I needed to think about how I led my siblings. I never really thought like that. So, to this day, that story sticks in my head. Clearly, vividly, the whole thing. And my dad's being calm. Now, my dad had a bit of a temper. That day, he restrained his temper. And that stuck in my head more than anything. God, I don't know if y'all know this, but if you read through, you find out that God tends to have a bit of a temper. And His wrath, we know that can be a little hot, right? And who can stand against His wrath? Is there any man? Is there one human on earth that can stand against God's wrath if He truly was to unleash? No. Can't. The point is this. There was a story with Elijah, and Elijah's on the side of that mountain. He's in that cave, and God tells him that I will be passing by. It's a beautiful story. It actually reminds me of my grandmother. I'll explain that in a moment. God came, before God passed by that cave, three things came that we all understand. Do y'all remember what those three things were? Wind. Not any wind. We're talking kind of wind. They said that it shattered rocks. There was an earthquake. We know the earthquakes, right? Well, hey, I've never danced in one myself, but we know that the power of an earthquake can do, right? Now, the other thing And my memory just all of a sudden got touched. Is it fire? Is that right? Thank you. I had to stop and think about it. All of a sudden it sounded right. Fire. So those are three incredible powers. But it said that God was not in those. God was not in those. But then came a gentle breeze. And God was there. My grandmother was like that. She was always a gentle breeze when everything was chaotic. Just like the day I hit my brother on the head with a pool ball. My grandmother was calm. And she always was like that in the middle of everything. Always stable, strong in her faith in God. And she was always that soothing, peaceful presence, that calm wind. And that's what God is. God has the power. He could blow us all away. He could shatter everything. We know He did it. Let's talk about Noah's flood. There's a good example of what He's done. He just flushed the whole world away, except for eight people and the animals on the ark. But He comes to us in Christ. And He offers us something that we do not deserve. Wow. His love is awesome in Christ. And we are blessed. So be thankful. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. He forgave us, and now we have oneness, unity with Him in Christ. When we forgive one another and quit looking at somebody like they're the viper in the grass and responding like that, or we take the other side of the step, when we know that somebody maybe steps away from us, maybe we need to say, hey, I'm not really a viper. I don't know what I did to offend, but I would like to reconcile with you. Then we are being children of God. Then we are in the light. Then we are attaining unity through forgiveness, a oneness with one another. So let's go through a little summary here. Perfected in unity. This is what we can have in Christ. We can be perfected in unity. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. It's not walking the light as if, Todd Watchers once life. I walk in the light a different way. That's not what it's about. It's walking the light as He Himself is in the light. Bearing with one another. Let me know when this gets hard. Forgiving each other. Put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I have difficulty with some of these myself, by the way. And be thankful. Reconcile to us to Himself through Christ. We can't forget that. Do you understand that those of us who are Christians, who have Christ as our Lord and our Savior, that we are now adopted, that we have a Heavenly Father, that is what we have accepted in Christ? That is what God offered, we accepted. We can't forget that. And therefore, when we go out there, ambassadors for Christ, well, you know what ambassadors do. We're not out there representing ourselves. We're not supposed to be. The United States ambassador does not go to Kenya and represent Kenya. They go there and they represent the United States of America. So when we're out there being ambassadors for Christ, or sitting here with each other. We have to understand, and this is what my dad used to tell me, by the way. He said, son, when you're out there, you're representing the family name. You're representing myself. So when you're out there, you're being me. That's why I'm tough on you. You're a watchress. And don't reflect bad on us. Those things stick in my head. They stick in my head so much that I tell my sons the same thing. But I liked what Ken said this morning. We took it one step further. When I get onto my children, as they're slowly maturing, as their level of maturity, I try to explain to them, you're not just representing your mom and your dad and your brother and your sister, the family, you're representing Almighty God. When you do something wrong, people are going to go, well, he goes to church. Well, if he does that, I can do that. Anyway, you get the point. We are ambassadors for Christ. So if we cannot forgive one another, if we cannot reconcile with one another, if we cannot walk in the light as he is in the light amongst one another in our family of Christ, then how can we say we're ambassadors for Christ when we're out in the world where it's dark and we are the light, as Ken put it, that God made us? Things to think about, things to ponder. I'm not trying to lecture, by the way. I always try to preface, and I forgot to preface this, but when I'm doing these things, I'm talking to Todd Watchers. It just happens to be I'm talking to y'all right now. But I am talking to myself. These are things that went through my head. Anyways, that's where I came up with all of this. And that brings us back to that original quote, forgiveness and oneness are the same things. When you forgive, you create a bond, because forgiveness is done in love. Now, sometimes we can argue, I know people can argue, well, it's hard to forgive somebody that doesn't apologize, or they don't show any remorse for what they did. Well, that goes into another lesson. Forgiveness is a lot about you. It goes back to that old saying, well, if your friends jump off a bridge, are you going to do it too? I mean, these days you don't have bungee jumping, but we're not talking that. All right. What we're talking about, though, is that this is about how you are being an ambassador for Christ. If people don't want to forgive you, remember who your Father is. Remember to whom you belong. And say, okay, I'm going to calm down. I'm going to forgive. I'm not going to let that stick in my craw and just let it go. Because I am a better person because of Christ. And I'm moving on. I'm going to keep my heart committed towards God. Anyway, that's pretty much it for my notes. Now, comments. We got a couple more minutes. Comments, questions, stories. Nathan, I hope that's pretty close to the thought process or something. That's where, anyways, my thoughts are, anyway, on what we discussed the other day. All right. Well, then we sort of ended early. Y'all got a little free time. Go play. No, anyway.